Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Barbara. Welcome to the Recipe Box. We've got a lot of exciting things happening around here, so stay tuned. I'm always excited to have Chef Jill on the show. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter under the Recipe Box. She's going to share some recipes and some tips. You always want to share this podcast whenever Chef Jill is on the show because she always provides things that are practical. I'm applying just about everything that she tells me, and I can tell you, little changes can add up in your daily life. So without further ado, I'm going to open her mic and welcome. Hi, Chef Jill. How are you?
Hi, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to have you back on the show.
It's really good to be back.
Well, I want to tell you, we had a little bit of trouble starting on time, so I want to say on air, I appreciate you hanging in there with us and for sharing the recipes and giving me the tips in advance. And one of the things that stood out immediately is you said every 25 seconds an American will have a coronary event, and each minute an American will die from a coronary event. I had no idea it was that bad.
This is information taken directly from the website of the American Heart Association. And the bottom line, regardless of what you hear about other diseases, heart disease is the number one killer of Americans, period. Cuts across gender lines, cuts across race lines, kills men and women. It is the number one killer. That's the bad news. The good news is there are steps that you can take to minimize your risk of heart disease. And from a cooking perspective, that's what we're here to talk about today. Today is February is American Heart Month. February has Valentine's Day. It's a cold, dark month that needs a little warming up. And so this is the month that we really concentrate on our hearts and choices that we can make to keep our heart and our circulatory system as healthy as possible.
And that's really important, especially in the wintertime. We tend to, what did they say, cocoon. We all stay bundled up. We stay inside for those of us who live in the colder climates. We eat heavier foods, I think, in the winter also. So, give us some tips.
Absolutely. Well, a couple of the tips that come directly from the American Heart Association is Life's Simple Seven. And this is going to get away from cooking and eating strictly and cover basically some of your lifestyle choices to make. The first is don't smoke. Smoking and coronary disease are tied together. It was interesting because I just returned from a trip abroad, and I never see cigarettes because I just, I'm not around smokers. But I went through the duty-free shop, and there are boxes and boxes of cigarettes, and as large as the names of the cigarette brands are, is now the Surgeon General warning. And basically, it lists the type of cigarette, and right underneath in the same point type, it says smoking kills. So tip number one, don't smoke. Mm-hmm. Tip number two, maintain a healthy weight. I'm not talking anorexic. I'm not talking look at a Hollywood model. I'm saying healthy weight. Talk to your doctor about what is a healthy weight for your height and age, and maintain it. And it isn't a matter of looking good. It's really a matter of not putting excess work on your organs. When you hold extra weight, your heart has to work harder, your lungs have to work harder, your joints have to work harder. Basically, you're taxing yourself all the time. The other, and this goes directly to what you were saying, number three is engage in regular physical activity. So, you know what? We are indoors, but there's no reason not to pop in a DVD or get an exercise video on demand. If you have stairs in your home, you can go up and down your stairs. If you have a heavy books or a dictionary, you can bench press that. You can do sit-ups and push-ups. Old-fashioned calisthenics really do the trick in terms of like keeping you in shape. There are also these fantastic exercise bands that you can have. You attach them to a doorknob. You can do presses. You can do curls and the like. You can even take them on vacation with you when you go to a warm weather climate. Eat a healthy diet, which we'll cover off on in a little bit. Manage your blood pressure. So in other words, have those regular checkups. Make sure that you're having your blood pressure tested. Blood pressure is the silent killer. It is asymptomatic, but it can lead to a whole host of issues, including stroke and including heart attack. Take charge of your cholesterol. And there are several lifestyle changes that you can use to reduce your cholesterol, as well as pharmaceuticals that are out there. And then also keep your blood sugar at healthy levels. So basically, Life Simple 7 applies to heart disease, but also applies across the board to other disease spectrums too. So, for example, these are excellent tips to follow for prevention of cancer and also for, reduction of diabetes and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Let me interject this one little thing real quick. I was chatting online with a few people a couple of weeks ago that I was starting to drink more water, and we know that we're supposed to do that, and I just, without flavor, it's just really hard for me to just choke down all the water that they say that we're supposed to have. So what I decided to do, it wasn't a diet, but I put a little 4-ounce cup, and before, I don't tell myself you cannot have soda, or you cannot have that chocolate bar, or you can, I don't say you cannot have, I say to myself, you can have that after you drink this cup of water. And so whenever
I love it, it
works for me, Jill, it really does work for me, because by not saying no, and doing this instead, and I can gulp down 4 ounces of water in a second. You know, it's not a major thing. But if I do that throughout the day before I reach for the other thing, if I do that first, then I don't want as much of that other thing. And so slowly but surely, those other things are letting go of me. You know, like having to have, you know, soda, or having to have certain things, you know, like ice cream or those types of things. They're slowly but surely leaving my diet, because sugar is addictive, and you really have to watch that sort of thing. So I just wanted to put that out there for people who are like, I don't know if I could ever do it. Do a little thing like that, and you'd be amazed how quickly you can get your health back under control.
And that is a brilliant tip. I'll tell you, water is, they call it the great lubricator, because it just keeps everything in your body flowing, not just your urinary tract, but your blood. It has to do with feeling alert. Also, a lot of times thirst masks itself as hunger or cravings. So absolutely brilliant. And, we're going to be talking about fiber a little bit later on in this broadcast. And a lot of times people have a hard time digesting fiber. They find it's easier to get fiber into their diet when they have more water. So you're doing so many great things. That's a great tip. I'm going to share that.
It works for me.
Awesome. So the AHA has Life Simple 7, and I've boiled that down to 3 simple tips from an eating standpoint. You've got to watch 3 things. You have to watch sodium, you have to watch cholesterol, and you have to watch your weight. So those are the 3 things, and this is specific to heart. Now, that's not saying ignore everything else. I'm talking from a food standpoint. When you're talking about heart health, these are the 3 things to focus on. Baby steps. You're not going to be perfect from the beginning.
Right, exactly.
So we're going to talk a little bit about sodium and what that is. I think most people correlate sodium with salt, because salt is made of sodium chloride. It's a mineral compound, and it's, you know, one of the most abundant minerals on Earth. It is used extensively in food, but salt is not the only contributor of sodium to food. So there are other types of sodium that are out there. A number of them are preservatives like sodium benzoate, but sodium also naturally occurs in food. Now, sodium, along with potassium and chloride, are electrolytes. So you may have heard of electrolytes specifically with athletes. Or if, you know, things like Pedialyte, if you have a child with the flu and you get, you know, more fluid into that child. So electrolytes basically control fluid that go in and out of your body's tissues and cells. And if you have too few electrolytes, you know, you can have muscle cramps, you can pass out, chronic deficiencies in electrolytes contribute to malabsorption of nutrients. There are very few of us that have too few electrolytes. I'll tell you that much right now. You've got to be like a marathon runner or, you know, under the weather. Most of us have too many electrolytes because we have taken in too much salt. And what the most common effect of too many electrolytes in the system is to have increased fluid retention. So you know how sometimes you sit down and you feel like you've had a salty meal and you notice that your clothes are a little tighter, maybe your rings are not slipping off your fingers as readily. That's because you're retaining fluid. When you retain fluid, you're not just retaining it in, you know, the spongy tissue in your body. You're also retaining that excess fluid in your blood vessels. And an increased volume of blood in your blood vessels is like jamming cars onto a rush hour highway. Basically, you're overloading the system, and the body's response is to have high blood pressure. So that's what sodium does to the body. To make sure that you're not having too much sodium, the American Heart Association advises having less than 2,300 milligrams of sodium each day, and that's the equivalent of 1 teaspoon of salt.
And so that's not much. It's not much, but you know what? It's doable. We made that change, oh my goodness, about 5 years ago. And that's a doable thing because nowadays there are more products that you can find in reduced that is reduced sodium, and the more that you include fresh produce and so forth, the less chance that you're going to have high sodium content anyway. But that's a doable thing. I know people think 1 teaspoon of salt, that's not much of anything, but you can. We dropped below 2,000. And a couple of family members were able to go off with medications because they didn't have all that extra fluid in their body and having that blood pressure problem, too. And they could get off of diuretics. So it's a doable thing, folks.
And, again, it's baby steps. You know, just like putting more produce into your diet, just like adding more fiber into your diet, you don't all of a sudden go cold turkey on the salt. You're not going to want to eat. You're going to run headlong to the next bag of pretzels. But just slowly reducing, noticing how much sodium you're taking in, and actively taking charge of it, you know, like you said, you're under 2,000 milligrams a day. That's terrific. One of the biggest things is cook at home because then you know how much sodium is in everything. I went to a fast food site to see how much sodium is in your little cheeseburger that you will feed your children. And I will say I'm guilty of feeding my child it from time to time. That is 1/3 of your total sodium intake for the day. We haven't even looked at fries. We haven't had breakfast and we haven't had dinner. We haven't had snacks. And you are, you know, 1/3 of a teaspoon of salt in that cheeseburger. So definitely, you know, watch dining out. That's a big one right there. Also, convenience foods like cheese, chips, deli meat have high amounts of sodium. And just because something doesn't taste salty doesn't mean it's low in sodium. Sweet foods like sports drinks and candy bars are also high in sodium. So the government asks that all packaged foods contain information on sodium. I advise you to become very label smart as you go into the grocery store and just take a look at, you know, what has high amounts of sodium. It's going to be processed food. You're going to be astounded how much sodium is in your typical wheat bread. I mean, there is a lot in there. And so big thing is to the extent possible, try to prepare everything from scratch and have low sodium foods. Fruits mm-hmm. and vegetables are naturally low in sodium. They also contain potassium, which kind of offsets sodium, mm-hmm. and they are low in calories and high in nutrients and flavor. In fact, one of my tips is to use fresh produce like chopped onions, chopped garlic, and chopped herbs to reduce sodium when you're cooking at home. Mm-hmm. So if I'm making like a turkey meatloaf, the first thing I start adding is I put in garlic because that garlic is going to give it a nice zingy flavor. You can also use cayenne pepper, black pepper, and vinegar. All of these keep high flavor and low sodium. Mm-hmm. The other tip, and I totally love this one, is before you shake your salt shaker, squeeze a piece of citrus. So here's what's going on. Acid cleans your tongue. So foods that are high in acid, such as citrus juices, so lemon, lime juices, grapefruit juice, orange juice, vinegar, wine, essentially clean your tongue. And so what that does is it makes it able to detect more flavor. So you know, Barbara, how sometimes you're working at your computer, you see the monitor, it's all hazy, you get one of those wipes, and all of a sudden mm-hmm. you're like, there's a whole World Wide Web out there.
Right.
That is what acid does to your tongue. So it's going to just clean your tongue and make everything taste zingier. So my tip at home is, so for example, let's say I'm making a big pot of beans, and they taste like beans, but they don't have a lot of sodium, and they don't have any salt in them yet. You're going to do a little squeeze of lemon, taste, and then start to add your salt. Add salt in really small increments, like pinches mm-hmm. at a time. Tom mm-hmm. Colicchio, who hosts Top Chef, had this great article about how he works with his chefs to get to the point where they understand how sodium salt can work in terms of flavoring food. You add it practically a grain at a time and keep tasting, and you're going to notice the flavors come alive as you're tasting and therefore be able to reduce the amount of sodium that you use.
That's an excellent tip, and that was a tip that I took away. You know, I said at the start, I always take away something and apply it, and that one was the one that I said, I'm going to try this because I always have some type of citrus around, so I'm definitely going to try this tip.
It is fantastic. Also, and I think you've already done this, Barbara, switch up the salt that you're using. Use mm-hmm. either kosher salt or sea salt.
Mm-hmm.
Your regular iodized salt in a can, which I know everybody says, oh my goodness, that's the cheap stuff. Can't I just buy something that's cheap? I'm spending a ton of money. Why should I spend a ton of money on salt? The iodized salt, first of all, you need more of it.
It's horrible.
Same flavor, absolutely. And once you switch over, to me, it tastes like a swimming pool. I can instantly tell when somebody
You won't go back. Yeah.
You will not. And because the flakes are bigger in sea salt and in kosher salt, it sits mm-hmm. up on top of the food, meaning you can use less salt and you can then taste it more. So it's so, I love them both. I also just add salt kind of at the end of cooking because, again, mm-hmm. that's when the salt sits up higher on the food, hits your palate first, registers, and boom, you can use less of it. Also, you know, watch out for salt in some hidden places. So a lot of people say, okay, well, instead of using salt, I'm going to use this, you know, Cajun spice mix, or I'm going to use this garlic mix or what have you. Most of those are more than half salt. And you really have to pay attention to that. So really thinking in terms of like, oh my goodness. And what I've got here is I have a salt-free Cajun spice mixture. So what you do, you take a quarter cup of chili powder. And what I like to do is when I go to the store, I look at chili powder that actually has the name of a chili pepper on it. So I found like ancho chili pepper. I found habanero chili powder. And it basically, it's just chilies that have been pulverized. So there's no other additives in there. Very nice. So a quarter cup of chili powder, a quarter cup of hot paprika. Sometimes this is called a Hungarian paprika.
Okay.
A tablespoon of ground black pepper, a tablespoon of dried basil, a tablespoon of dried oregano, a tablespoon of dried thyme, a tablespoon of ground coriander, and then a teaspoon of cayenne pepper. Now, of course, if you like things spicy, you can up that. Basically, mm-hmm. mix all of these up in a cleaned, you know, reusable, essentially peanut butter jar is what I use, and seal it tightly, and this keeps up to 3 months. And you can sprinkle this on everything. You know what this is fantastic mm-hmm. on, Barbara? Sweet mm-hmm. potatoes. So I take sweet potatoes, lay them out on a sheet pan, cut them up into about inch chunks, spray them with some pan spray, and then sprinkle this Cajun spice mixer over. So delicious. Right. So delicious. And really super easy.
And sweet potatoes are so good for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Also, I've got a recipe here for a walnut crusted trout with Cajun spice. So basically, mm-hmm. you're going to get 4 trout fillets. If you don't have trout, you can substitute any other flat fish, sole, tilapia, whitefish. Those all make great candidates there. Preheat your oven to 375 and line your cookie sheet with either foil or parchment paper and spray it with pan spray. You're going to put a couple tablespoons of Dijon mustard and 1 tablespoon of honey together in a bowl and stir those together. And then you're going to take either a small food processor or a blender and put in 1/2 cup of chopped walnuts, 1 cup of whole wheat croutons, and 1 tablespoon of the salt-free Cajun spice mixture that I just gave you the recipe for. And mm-hmm. you're going to pulse that until it's combined. Then you take your trout fillets or whatever fish fillets you're using, pat them dry with paper towels, place them on the cookie sheet. If the fish has skin on it, place it skin side down. You're going to brush each fillet with the honey mustard and then sprinkle it with the walnut and spice mixture and then bake it for 8 to 10 minutes until the fish flakes easily with a fork and you have a golden crust. And it is delicious. Delicious.
That is so easy. Look how easy that is. And on a cookie sheet with foil, you can't get any easier than that either. No pots, no pans,
no nothing. And, you know, if you have any allergies, like if you have an allergy to nuts, you can leave mm-hmm. the walnuts out and just increase the croutons. If you have a wheat allergy, you can, you know, put in, I just put in cornmeal. I mix cornmeal and walnuts, or sometimes I just go all walnuts. This is also really good with pistachios. So you can mix it up, or if you want a true southern flair and you're not allergic, you could do this with peanuts and the Cajun spice mixture.
Okay, very good. Fantastic.
So the next thing that we're going to talk about is cholesterol. So remember we said watch your sodium, and the next thing is watch your cholesterol. So in food, you're going to find 4 basic types of fats: saturated fat, polyunsaturated fat, monounsaturated fat, and trans fat. And basically, saturated fats are fats that you find in animals. So it's the fat that's in and around meat, it's fat in dairy products, it's poultry skin, it's lard. That's the type of fat that saturated fat is. You will also find saturated fats in some tropical oils, like palm kernel oil or in coconut oil. So you hear, you know, ooh, these are terrible, terrible, terrible fats. Mm-hmm. They should be eaten in limited amounts. So it's not an absolute taboo, avoid it all the time. But really, if you're taking in about 30% of your diet from fat, which is what the American Heart Association recommends, only 1/6 of that, or 5% of your calories in general, should be from saturated fat.
Okay.
The next 2 types of fat, polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats, are fine in moderation. These are the healthy fats that occur naturally in fruits and vegetables, in fish, in nuts, in seeds, and plant oils. So you're mm-hmm. going to find them in salmon, trout, olives, avocado, walnuts, liquid vegetable oils. These can actually help you lower your blood cholesterol when you replace what you had been having in terms of saturated fats and trans fats. So, for example, when I make mashed potatoes, rather than using cream and butter, I use extra virgin olive oil. And I also use garlic, of course, and a little bit of chicken stock. And what this does is it's got a nice creamy flavor, and I've replaced some of the saturated fat that was coming from the butter and the cream with a monounsaturated fat that comes from extra virgin olive oil. Okay. So this is a healthy fat.
Yeah, and the garlic and the olive oil are excellent for you. Now, the trans fats, those are the ones, those are the big bad guys.
That is the nail in the coffin. These are what people, you know, when margarine first came out and, you know, during, I think, the 40s is when margarine came out, people really thought it was the healthiest thing ever because you were using vegetable oil instead of an animal fat. However, the process of hydrogenation, which is basically what allows something that would normally be a liquid, like safflower oil, to be a solid at room temperature, is really, really dangerous for your health. Creates a lot of free radicals, and the free radicals are what cause cellular damage that can lead to cancer. So trans fats should be avoided altogether. Generally, they're man-made fats. Dairy products do have some naturally occurring trans fats. Those you don't have to worry about because they're incredibly minimal. However, the man-made ones are the baddies. So you're commonly going to find them in margarine and shortening. You're also going to find them in a lot of baked goods. Because what hydrogenation does is it improves texture in baked products and also improves shelf life. So when you flip over, it does good things from a selling standpoint, but not good things from a body standpoint. So when you flip over your package and you're reading what are the ingredients, look for things like hydrogenation and partial hydrogenation. So if you see hydrogenated soybean oil, that is not good. So there's a number of tips for getting the right mix of fats in your diet. Basically, try to eat seafood and poultry, trim visible fat off meat, take skin off of chicken, read all your food labels. Here's one that I totally love. If you're making a soup or stew, cook it a day ahead and refrigerate it. Because what happens is liquid water and liquid fat will separate out. The fat's going to rise to the top, and it's going to solidify. You can take that right off. When I make beans in my crock pot, I will sometimes throw in, like, you know, some chicken bones or turkey bone or even a steak bone. I chill them, and then the next day take off the fat, and then I have fat-free beans, which is fantastic. And I got all the flavor from the meat that I have in there. The other is try to eat at least one vegetarian meal at least once per day, and then also eat meat as a garnish. So use it sparingly in soups and stews rather than having a big steak and like three asparagus spears. The other thing to help you reduce your cholesterol, believe it or not, is adding fiber. Fiber to me is like wondrous. I was talking to my sister about how she and I have both essentially become our dad, because my dad is obsessed with fiber. He's got some cereal that's got like 12 grams of fiber as a serving. And fiber helps you in so many ways. First of all, it helps to reduce your cholesterol level. I know it sounds crazy, but what happens is fiber stops your body from absorbing